Thank you. That's pretty, wasn't it? Good evening, everyone. Good to see you tonight. Thanks for being here. And I knew the Giants would do it. I mean, I got home from church this morning, and it was 34 to nothing already. I mean, it wasn't even the halftime yet. Now, I wasn't surprised. Those Vikings, and God rest their souls, they just choke in the playoffs. They really do. I didn't have much hope for them. I really didn't. And it was evident today. Well, the Giants are going to be playing the Raiders now. Isn't that exciting? Oh, I don't know, but they're going to win. So I predicted the Giants to win, so I'm sure the Raiders will win also. And I don't know. I didn't watch any of that game. That game's got to be well into the second half right now anyway. And I'm surprised. I'm thrilled that you all came to church. I thought, oh, it's one of those Sunday nights. This end-of-the-year football stuff, you know. There's people that they get ill around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, begin to think it might be best if they just stay in and nurse their cold or their cough. And if you're going to be home, you might as well sit down and watch a little television or whatever. So I'm glad that you came to church tonight. I really am. This is a whole lot more important than football. We're not making as much money, but it's more important. I will tell you that. I assure you. Proverbs chapter 8 tonight. Proverbs chapter 8. Tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock, I'm going to leave from Rochester to go to JFK in New York about 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to get on a South African Airways flight, Lord willing, and fly for 14 hours to South Africa. You pray that I don't kill somebody on that flight. Whoa, including myself. That's a long way to be in one place. You know, of course, I won't be in one place. We'll be covering several hundred miles during that time. But I won't feel like it. I'll just be sitting going, ugh. Now, I'm not afraid of flying. I'm not. I can fall asleep on the runway. You know, I really can. I can sleep right through takeoff. And I've done that many, many times. But for 14 hours, I don't think I can sleep for 14 hours. So I'm going to get to know some people. That may be a good, maybe a bad experience for me, or maybe even for them. So we'll be with, what's that now? Private? That's private. Yes, I remember that. Yeah. That was Dave Gibbs. It was Dave Gibbs, his illustration. Yeah, that's really private. I don't know. Well, I'm sure I'll have the opportunity to witness in 14 hours. You could witness to everybody on the airplane in that time. So we'll see what takes place. All right. Proverbs chapter number 8. It's a great book, isn't it? Let me just tell you what the chapter says before we read it. Now, that's not maybe a good idea, but I assume that you've all read this one time in your life. So it's not like I'm poisoning your minds before you've read this chapter, but you could sum up chapter number 8 in several statements. In fact, I've written them down at the end of the message, and sometimes it's a good thing to finish or start your message with your conclusion, and then people will have the opportunity to pick up on the context all the way through. This is what I wrote in the end of my message. Wisdom is offered in the chapter to everyone, everywhere, but only in combination or in conjunction with righteousness. Nothing is more valuable than wisdom. Those who truly want wisdom may have it. Christ reveals God's wisdom to man, and your response determines your destiny, your life, and your eternity. Now, there's 36 verses, but if you were to take all that and just kind of boil it down, that's what chapter number 8 is all about. That wasn't a lot, was it? Let me say it one more time, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. Wisdom is offered to everyone everywhere. It's available to anybody who wants it. James chapter 1 tells us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It's available. And that's what this chapter tells us. But it's only available in conjunction with righteousness. If you don't live a righteous life, or you're not in the pursuit of righteousness and holiness in your life, you're going to miss wisdom. You're going to miss some very important things. And the further off track you get in your life, the further or deeper you get into sin, the less wisdom you'll be able to acquire. In other words, you're just going to be a big dummy is what will happen. Nothing, but only in combination or conjunction with righteousness. Nothing in this world is more valuable than wisdom. Money, goods, titles, position, possessions. There's nothing in this world that's more valuable than wisdom. And those who truly want it can have it. Anybody in this room can have it. You don't have to have 150 IQ. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to be born in a country like America with all the opportunities. It's something that's available to anybody, anywhere, anytime. Anybody that wants it, it's available to them. And it's Christ that reveals God's wisdom to mankind. Your response to wisdom will determine your destiny here in this life, on this earth, and it will determine your ultimate and final destiny in eternity. Now, that's the sum total of the chapter. And I don't think I said anything there that you haven't heard already. But this is God's Word. God has taken another 36 verses of the Bible to use this to make a plea to us as in our daily Bible reading, as we're going through the Scriptures, to remind us how important wisdom really is. Already in the book, we've seen the purpose for the book of Proverbs. We've seen the importance of obedience to parents. We've seen the importance of avoiding bad company, seeking wisdom earlier, and the benefits of wisdom. We have already seen that we are to be kind to others, again, that we are to get wisdom. We are to avoid the wicked, that we are to guard or protect our hearts, our affections, that we are not to commit adultery, whether it's mentally or physically. We're to be faithful to our spouse. We're to avoid surety, that is, getting entangled in the debts of someone else. And we're not to be lazy, and again, in last week's message in chapter 7, we were reminded again that you're not to commit adultery. Many of the things that the truths of God's Word are said over and over and over, they are repeated over and over, because God knows how, you know, short our memories are. We don't remember things very long. And unfortunately, even though many of us learn lessons in life by experience, we really don't learn them forever. We learn them for a time, and then we have a habit of kind of becoming loose and lackadaisical, and God has to remind us again what the truth is, and He'll remind us again in God's Word. Now let's read chapter 8, then we'll go back through and we'll just kind of pick out the thoughts that we've already presented to you. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Why don't we pray right there, and then we'll come back to the text. Father, we're very grateful and thankful for your word. And I know the message tonight is very abstract, and it may demand on each our parts that we pay a little bit more attention than we normally do. Help us to do that, Lord. And at the same time, help us to realize the importance of these words. They are every bit as important as anything else that we could read in this book. Thank you for them. Help us to apply them. And then, Lord, we know that you'll fulfill your promises in them. In Jesus' name we pray, for his sake, amen. The word wisdom basically means skillful living. Learn how to live a skillful life. We've said in times past, in messages in recent Sunday nights, that there are so many things to attempt to achieve excellence in this life. Some people want to be excellent in the area of academics. They want to be intelligent. In fact, they want to ascend to maybe a higher level of education. Not only get a bachelor's, but get a master's degree in some proficiency. Become a teacher, maybe an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer. some people want to become proficient in the area of athletics and sports. Others want to be proficient in relationships, learning how to get along with people and having the right kind of relationships with others, satisfying and pure relationships. Wouldn't it be great if we, like those who would strive for perfection or excellence in those areas, wouldn't it be great if we just wanted to be good Christians and live lives of skillful living, to be wise in anything and everything we do? You don't have to have 150 IQ to be wise. There's a difference between being smart and being wise. There are many who have all kinds of intellect and intellectual capacity and potential, and yet they're as dumb as an ox when it comes to the practical things in life because they've rejected the wisdom of God. And then there are those who might even be considered to be substandard, not even average intellectually. But because of their knowledge and their relationship with God, their knowledge of this book, they know how to live. They know how to live life wisely. And if you had a choice of one or the other, I don't need to tell you which one that you ought to choose, although I would commend you, I would encourage everybody to try to do as well as you possibly can in both of those areas. But we said the first five verses, and that's basically how I've broken this up in my outline, the first five verses tell us that wisdom is offered to everyone and everywhere. Now, particularly to us, think of all the things that are available to us. Think of the books. You've got a bookstore in your church. Think of the radio programs. I think right now in Rochester, if you've got a pretty good radio reception, you could probably get four different radio stations that claim to be Christian. And I would say that on every one of those stations, there are some things, in fact, on some of them, there are many things that are very good to listen to and apply to your life. There's some good stuff on there. There's some good things even on TBN. Now, I have to admit, that's tough to say that, but there are some good things even on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Not all the programs on there are hokey or, you know, a little bit far out. There's some good stuff on there. I like watching Charles Stanley. He's a great preacher. I love to listen to him. He is so cool, and he knows where he's going in his sermons, and he's so simple and practical and logical and persuasive. I'd like to be able to preach like him. I mean, if there's somebody that I'd like to be like as far as the delivery of a sermon and having the ability logically to go through a subject, I'd like to be like a Charles Stanley. Or I like to listen to Jack Van Impe. Jack Van Impe gets a little crazy every now and then, but not that often. But he has a tremendous ability to memorize the scriptures. There was a time, I don't know where he is at this point in his life, but I don't imagine he's forgotten much, if any at all. But he had three quarters of the King James Bible memorized. He had the whole New Testament memorized word for word, and about half of the whole Old Testament, or a little more than that, memorized word for word. Now, my point is simply this, that wisdom is everywhere. There are periodicals that you can buy. Probably most of you have a herd of Bibles around your house. I don't mean one or two, but several of them. New Testaments, all kinds of good materials, radio programs, TV, and who knows what else. Wisdom cries out everywhere, and it's available to everyone. Every now and then somebody will come up to me and they'll say, well, what about the person who lives, you know, off in some far-off country? What about them, those who haven't heard? Well, let me tell you, there's not a lot of people in this world, relatively speaking, that haven't heard something about Jesus Christ. There's not a lot of them. I'm going to go to Africa tomorrow morning, and probably 90% of the people where I'm going to be in Gaborone, the capital of that country, 90% of those people, if not more, I'll find out from Dennis. I want to find out how evangelized the country is. They know who Jesus Christ is. It's not like they're pagans, you know, out in the worshiping totem poles or demons. Now, they may worship those things, but it's not that they don't have some kind of information about Jesus Christ. Wisdom is everywhere. It's offered to everyone. And all you have to do is reach out and grab a hold of it. But it's only available to those who are willing to seek it in conjunction with righteousness, living a righteous life. Let's finish, though. We notice in verse 5, it said, O ye simple, understand wisdom, ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Verse 6, he says, Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. This is what wisdom is characterized by, excellence, things that are right. For my mouth shall speak truth. That's what wisdom is, it's truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Wisdom is always parallel with righteousness. It never contradicts righteousness. And righteousness never contradicts wisdom. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Now, there's no intellectual qualification put on verse 9. Now, I know that there would be exceptions. You might have a severely developmentally impaired individual that would have a difficult time understanding the Scriptures. But we're talking about the population. We're talking about people like you and me and here, the population in general. It says they're all plain. The wisdom of God is plain. It's not difficult to understand. Plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. But a lot has to do with whether or not you're going to gain that wisdom. Your life and how you live your life has a lot to do with that, whether you live your life in righteousness. So wisdom is everywhere, and it is available and offered to everyone, but only in conjunction with righteousness. Nothing, then, the Bible says in verse 10, is more valuable than wisdom. Verses 10 and 11 say that wisdom is precious. Verse 12 says that wisdom is practical and productive. Verse 13 says that wisdom is pure. And verses 14, 15, and 16 tell us that wisdom is very powerful. First of all, it's very precious. Look at 10 and 11. Wisdom cries out everywhere, and it says in verse 10, Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Young people, there's nothing more valuable than wisdom. When you're young, and when we're old too, I might add, there's certain things that we want to make money, and we want a position, we want a job of importance or prominence. We want relationships, we want somebody to love and somebody to love us. We want all of those things. We want all of the things that people in this world value and hold in high esteem. But there's nothing that's more valuable, nothing more important than the wisdom that comes from God's Word. Nothing more important. It's more valuable than silver, the text says. It's more valuable than gold. It's more valuable than precious rubies. And God said there is not anything that you could ever think of that could be compared to gaining the wisdom of God. Now let me give you a hint. We're not there yet, but we will be shortly. What is the wisdom of God? I said it's skillful living. Now how do you learn to live skillfully? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 tell us, in both of those verses, that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ is wisdom personified. And I believe in the eternal and omniscient mind of God. Is God penned His own Word, inspired that, particularly in the Gospels when He revealed His Son, the character of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He very carefully, in those four books of the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He told us everything that we need to know about Jesus Christ and how He would behave in any given set of circumstances. It behooves me and it behooves you to study the Scriptures, especially the life of Christ, and see how Jesus Christ dealt with people, how He related to people, the questions that He asked, the kindness that He shared with people, His sensitivity and His love, His compassion, and yet His firmness in what the truth was, and His ability to get the attention of other people on important subjects. It's important that the things that He held in high esteem are the things that you and I hold in high esteem also. That's what wisdom is all about. That's what skillful living is all about. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, to me a very important verse, and it ought to be to you. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What is the principle or the premise there? To seek first, primarily, the top priority in our lives is the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, the things of God, the most important things in life. That's what Jesus held in high esteem. What's top on your list? Money, education, relationships, possessions, power or control or authority. All of those things are things that we desire and we want to have. Prominence. Yet the most important thing that you could get is a knowledge of how Jesus Christ would act or react in any given situation. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And Jesus cries on the housetops, in the gates. He's everywhere. His wisdom, information, knowledge, and understanding of His ways are available to everyone, everywhere. But they're available only in combination or in conjunction with a righteous life. If we're not living or pursuing a righteous life, we're going to miss some of that, a great deal of that, and we will not live skillfully. And nothing is more valuable than wisdom. It is precious. Verse 12 says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." It's very practical, and it is very productive in our lives. Verse 13 says that wisdom is pure. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Wisdom is pure. And of course, James says that it's first pure in James chapter 3, verse 17. And then in verse 14, 15, and 16, we see that having wisdom and possessing wisdom is extremely powerful because counsel is mine. Good advice is mine, he says. And sound wisdom, something that is sound, is something that you can count on, you can build on. There's no cracks in it. There's no errors in it. There's no inconsistencies in it. It's homogeneous. It's strong. It's powerful. Sound wisdom. He says, "I am understanding. I have strength. By me, who? Wisdom. Kings reign. Decisions are made. Princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." You know the primary qualification to be a good judge or having good judgment in this life is to possess the wisdom of God, to possess the mind of Christ, to look at any given situation in your life and think, what would Christ do in this set of circumstances? What would Jesus do for this person in the midst of their trial or tribulation? How would He answer them? What would He provide for them? What would He do for them? What would Jesus, if He were here, counsel this person to do in this set of circumstances? If you can answer those questions, and you can answer them and get 100 on your test, you possess the ability to live skillfully, the wisdom of God. Wisdom is offered to everyone, everywhere, but only in conjunction with a righteous life. And nothing is more valuable than wisdom, because wisdom is precious It is practical. It is productive in your life. It is pure, and it is very powerful. By wisdom, kings reign. Princes rule, and judges make judicial decrees. The next thing is that those who truly want wisdom may have it. Those who are truly seeking it can get it. We might call these people the objects of wisdom's affection. Look at verse number 17. It says, I, that's wisdom, speaking first person, personified, I love them that love me. Wisdom loves, who is wisdom? Jesus is the wisdom of God. The Bible says that Jesus loves them that love wisdom, that love Him. And those that seek me early shall find me. I guess this is just a characteristic of being young, and we all were there. Some of us still are there. But it just seems that we go through, most people, 85, maybe 90% of us, go through a period of life where we just got to try to do it ourselves without God. We know the Bible is there, and we know what Mom said, and we know what Dad said, and yeah, that sounds like good advice. But 90% of us come to a place where we say, well, I'm smart. I can figure this stuff out. I don't have to do it exactly the way the Bible says, or the way the preacher said, or the way my parents taught me, or the way the Sunday school teacher said. I don't have to do it like that. I'll be okay. And there's a period of life where young people just kind of go numb. They walk away and wander out there thinking that life is going on okay and that they're doing it, accomplishing whatever it is, their life purpose and what they want to do. But everything's all right and it's going to be all right. In one day, and I don't know what it is, I just pray for it for everyone. All of a sudden, one day, they just kind of wake up and realize, hey, something about that Bible, that's good stuff. This morning, just walking around in all of the services and shaking hands before or after the services, I look around at all of the young people. Well, they're not so young anymore. The kids that grew up in this ministry, and I can go back and in most, many of their lives, they kind of had a time like that where they just went their own way, did their own thing, and we didn't see them for a couple years or 5 years or maybe even 8 years of their lives. But then there they are sitting in the church service this morning. Now they're 28, 29. Right next to him is his wife, or her is her husband. And there's a child or maybe two of them off in the nursery or a Sunday school class somewhere. And it's just kind of like, whew, I'm glad they finally got over whatever it was they had. You know what it is? They've come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is wisdom. And they've come to the conclusion at some point, if they don't desire it for themselves, once they have a little baby and they realize the responsibility of that life, all of a sudden it's, I gotta get my kid to church. They know where the answers are. Now there's a lot, many that have come through this ministry and other ministries. Maybe they're yet to come to that point, but sure is encouraging to see people come to that place, come back to church with a whole new attitude, with a whole new desire to really learn. In fact, oftentimes they'll say, you know, Pastor, I really wish I appreciated this when I was here 10 years ago. Didn't appreciate it the way I should have, but I sure appreciate it now. Listen, you don't have to go through that. I didn't say 100% of young people go through that. Maybe 85, maybe 90. Maybe that's even an exaggeration. You might not even agree with that. And that isn't the point. The point is, you don't have to go through that. You don't have to be dumb for 5 years or 10 years. You don't have to try to make it up on your own. You know what you need to do? You need to seek God's wisdom right now, because it's the most valuable thing that you'll gain in your whole life. More valuable than anything that you could ever think of. And those who truly want wisdom may have it. It says, I love them that love me in verse 17. And those that seek me early, the earlier the better in your life. Riches and honor are with me. Who? With wisdom. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Not the kind of riches that kind of are frittered away, but things that are truly worthwhile. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold and 24 karat gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. But I didn't say that. God said that. God said He'll bless you if you honor Him with substance. He'll take care of you. He'll feed you. He'll clothe you. He'll educate you. He'll take care of all your needs. And I found out, and most of you have found out in your life, that He takes care of more than your needs. He even supplies a lot of your wants. In fact, if the truth were known, we all have a whole lot more than we deserve. A lot more than we deserve. There's substance in the wisdom of God, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. You know, God knows how carnal we are. He knows how to talk our language. I don't need anything. I'm not greedy of filthy lucre. I didn't say you were. But God knows that human beings are motivated by money. And they are motivated by material things to a great degree. That's why you went out and got a job. It wasn't like, I love McDonald's. I wish I could be part of their team. I don't need any pay. I just want to be here at the drive-up window and pass French fries through the window. Is that why you got a job there? You like the smell of French fry grease all over your clothes? You know, is that why you started working there? No. You were motivated by money. And I didn't say that was bad. God knows we're motivated by reward. We want, you know, somebody to remunerate us, pay me for what I do. And God says, listen, I'll tell you what, I know how to get your attention. You honor me, you love me, you put wisdom first in your life. He says in verse number 21, He says, if you love me, you're going to inherit substance, and I'll fill your treasures. I'll take care of you. Trust me. Never should we do what we do solely or primarily for that reason, but God always promises that He'll take care of your business if you'll take care of God's business. And then in verse number 22, the personification of wisdom goes to another level. There are those, and I believe that there's a great truth in this, that believe from verses 22 up to 31, the next 10 verses, are a description of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in living with or in the presence of God the Father. Now, I'm just going to put that thought in your mind, and you'll see as you go through these next 10 verses, certainly there's something to be said for that. But we see the personification of wisdom, and many would go on, and I would suggest that God is revealing His wisdom through His Son, Jesus Christ. We know that to be true. With that in mind, let's read through this, just thinking of the Lord Jesus Himself in these texts, in these verses. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. Christ is God, manifest in the flesh. In wisdom predates everything and anything. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, or I was manifest. The wisdom of God, Jesus Christ, manifest in creation. By Him all things were created. There wasn't anything made that was anything that was made that wasn't made by Jesus Christ Himself, Colossians chapter 1 tells us. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, the wisdom of God was manifest. While as yet He hath not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. What? Wisdom was manifest. Skillful living. Jesus Christ, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, I was there, if I can add that. When He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, I was there, He says. When He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, I was there. When He appointed the foundations of the earth, I was there. Then I was by Him as one brought up with Him. Kind of like the image there is like a child that's been raised with a parent. We've been together. We've been together forever. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. You can see the picture of Christ in all of that. We won't go into the theology of everything that is said there. But the point is that wisdom existed before anything else. And the reason is because Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And He is from everlasting to everlasting. Wisdom always has been. That's how valuable it is. In fact, Psalm 104, and I believe it's, I think I wrote these in my margin here somewhere. Psalm 104 in verse 8 and then a little bit later on tell us that by wisdom the worlds were created. Let me get those references for you. I know that I've got them in my notes and probably have too many pages of notes here. Bear with me and I'll pull them out. Let's look at one or two of them. Let's look at Psalm 104. Yeah, that's what I've got. Let's look at Psalm 104. You just got to go back a few pages from where you are. Psalm 104 in verse number 4 is the first one we'll look at. Whoops. And don't ring a bell there. That's not the right one. What did I do here? Help me. Help me. What is it? 24. All right. Thank you. Whew. Oh Lord. That's it. How manifold are Thy works. In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. See that? In wisdom hast Thou made them all. Look at Psalm 136. And I hope this one's right. Psalm 136, and I've got verse 5 in my notes. One out of two ain't bad. 136, verse 5 says, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. So wisdom, it was by the wisdom of God that God created, because God is wisdom. It is an attribute, a characteristic of God. In fact, as we said, 1 Corinthians says Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Then I was by Him, verse 30, as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. That is, man was created by the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is seen in God's creation. Not only is physical creation, the planets, the universe, the earth, the trees, the animal kingdom, but in greatest supply, the wisdom of God is seen in man himself. How complex man is, originally made in the image and likeness of God. We can learn a lot about God by studying the characteristics of mankind. Not all of them, but certainly some of them. The personification of wisdom. It is Jesus Christ. And then the last principle or point is simply this. Your response to God's wisdom, to Jesus Christ, your response in your life determines your destiny. It's your choice. 3 months ago, after the third service, I walked upstairs. It was probably 5 or 10 after 1. And I was in the kitchen area. And a fellow that I know walked into the kitchen. He said, I got to talk to you right now. I've got to talk to you right now. Now, I've talked with this fellow before. In fact, he's made appointments with me and stiffed me on several occasions. He makes an appointment when he's in trouble. I've got the appointment on my calendar. I wait for him. He doesn't show up. He's done that to me at least three times. And here he is now. I'm wiped out mentally, emotionally, physically. I've preached three times. I've been up for 8 hours. And he walks in. He says, I've got to talk to you right now. I've got to have a counseling session right now. Like, hey, I kind of feel like, you know, your particular crisis at this moment doesn't mean that I've got to respond. Why don't you be? Now, that's how I felt inside. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 5 minutes right now. That's about all the gas I had left in me. I'll give you 5 minutes. So he went through his story again. I gave him a lot more than 5 minutes. But I listened to him, and he just needed to spew out all his problems, which I already knew. And when he was all done, I just said, you know what? I can't help you. I really can't help you. You know everything that I would tell you. You know what? It's your turn to make a decision, and it's totally up to you. And if you decide to do the right thing, God will bless you for it, and you know what that is. And if you don't decide to do the right thing, then you'll be calling me up in 6 months in a panic, going through the same problems all over again. And it's up to you. I'm helpless at this point. You are in charge of your destiny in the sense that it is your decision how you're going to live. Now, you can sit there as a young person, you can say, well, it's my life, and I'll live it any way I want to live it. Let me tell you something. There's a truth in that. The problem is that you can't control the consequences of that decision. It is your life. And yes, practically speaking, not theologically, but practically speaking, you can live it any way you want. But after that, you're not in control. Your decision will determine your destiny. And you won't be able to change the consequences at that point. You take drugs. You take alcohol. You become a drug addict. You become a drunkard. And there are consequences that go with those decisions. You get involved in illicit, immoral, premarital, extramarital, sexual relationships. You make that decision. There are consequences that go with those decisions. You may control right now, you think, what you're going to do, your behavior now, your relationship now, but the consequences are out of your control. Your decisions will determine your ultimate destiny, and your response to wisdom determines what kind of life you're going to live here in this earth and what kind of life you're going to live for all of eternity. Look with me in verse number 32. It says, now therefore, hearken. See here in the word hearken? Hear me. Listen to me, O ye children. For blessed, happy are they that keep my ways. Who doesn't want to be happy? Raise your hand.
I don't want to be happy. I just want to be miserable the rest of my life.
There isn't anybody in here that doesn't want to be blessed. There isn't anybody that doesn't want to be happy. Well, the Bible says, listen to me, listen to wisdom, and you'll be happy, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear, verse 33, instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Well, I don't like that advice. Well, I'm not ready for that. Well, I'm going to sow my wild oats. Well, I'm going to live the way I want. Don't do that. Don't refuse it. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, every single day, looking for the wisdom of God, waiting at the post of my doors. God, give me another tidbit. Teach me something else about life. Help me. Keep me pure. Keep me holy. Keep me on the right track. Teach me, Lord. I'm open. I'm asking wisdom from you. I want to be like Jesus in my life. Do that. Live that way. It's a blessed life. It's a happy life. Verse 35 says, consequence. For whoso findeth me, wisdom. finds life. Now you're going to find out what life is really all about. You know what that means? You're going to have a good life. It doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life. It doesn't mean it isn't going to be without some problems and disappointments and discouragements. But it's the best life you will ever have by listening to the wisdom of God. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. You'll live in the grace and the blessing and the mercy of God in His shadow. And on the contrary, verse 36 says, but he that sinneth against me, you reject wisdom, you violate the principles of wisdom, you violate the conduct and character that is consistent with Jesus Christ. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me, wisdom, love death. You love death. It's a consequence. It's up to you. It's up to me. Hey man, you know I'm up here, I'm trying to help you. And I really am. Tell you what, after I'm done helping you, by God's grace, I've got to help myself. Just like you do. I've got to reach out for the wisdom of God. I have to make right decisions. I have to spend time in God's Word to have the principles of God's Word permeate my soul and my mind and my heart and my emotions so that I make right decisions. Sometimes people look at pastors or missionaries or somebody that's been in the ministry for some time and it's kind of like, it's a given. Well, you know, I mean, they would never have any problems. They're the pastor or the missionary or the pastor's wife. You're dumber than you look. We're all in this thing together. I'm trying to help you right now. I'm trying to give you advice. But that advice, as I'm pointing to you, I got three fingers pointing right back at me. I've got to take it. Based on the decisions I make, based on the character and the life of Christ and the conduct of Christ, in studying His life and trying to be conformed to His image, the more consistent my life is with His expectations and with His life, the more blessed my life will be. And the more inconsistent my life is, the more difficulties I will bring upon myself and oftentimes bring them upon my family and others around me. So what matter here tonight? Let me read you the conclusion one more time. It's on my seventh page of my notes. Aren't you glad I got through seven pages of notes? Actually, there's more than that. Here's what the chapter's all about. Wisdom is offered to everyone, everywhere, but only in conjunction with righteousness, with a holy life. It's the only way you're going to get a hold of wisdom is when your heart is right with God and your life is right with God. Nothing is more valuable than wisdom. Silver, gold, rubies, God says nothing is to be compared to it. And those who truly want wisdom, anybody in this room, has nothing to do with your IQ, has nothing to do with how old you are or where you live, whether you're the first child of 10 or the last child of 3, has nothing to, whether you're single or divorced, whether you're married or widowed, has nothing to do with it. It's available to anyone. And Christ reveals the wisdom of God to man, studying His life and His Word and His principles. And your response and my response will determine my destiny, both here in this life and the kind of life that I will live, whether I'll live under the blessings of God, and also in eternity, the kind of life I will live then. If I will respond to His gospel and respond to His grace and respond to His will for my life and repent of my sin and call upon Christ to save me, He'll save me for all of eternity. That decision will have everything to do with where I spend the rest of my existence. And if I choose not to, I reject the wisdom of God. The Bible says that I love death. because that's where I'll live. The wages of sin, death. Death. Jesus Christ died, I said this morning, for our sins. He didn't die for nothing. He died for our sins. I know you've heard that so many times. It's like, oh, tell me something else. No, I'm not going to tell you something else. It's the most important thing to each and every one of us that we could hear. He died for our sins. Your sin and my sin is the only reason why we are not qualified to spend eternity with God in heaven. It's sin that keeps people out of heaven. It's not, well, I'm a Catholic. Can I go to heaven? That has nothing to do with that. Well, I'm a Baptist. I'm not sure Baptists go. Well, anyway. Well, I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Methodist. Religion has nothing. The denomination you belong to has nothing to do with it. The issue is, are ye still yet in your sin? Christ died for our sins. And you have a choice, as I have had a choice in my life, to either accept Christ's payment for your sin, or you can pay for your own sin. Duh. Do you have to be really smart to figure that out? Do you want to pay for your own sin? How much do you have to pay? Maybe that's your next question. The payment is heavy. It's a balloon payment for all of eternity in hell. Doesn't sound good, does it? Price is too high, my friend. Accept the gift. You can't buy what Christ has already given you. Accept it. Christ died for our sins. Anybody that accepts that and receives that, the text says, you find life. But all those that reject me, you love death. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we're grateful for your word. Thankful for the promises of this book, more and more each day as we go through our lives. Help us to understand and apply your wisdom. Help us to study the life of your Son. Help us to be conformed to his image, that Christ may be formed in each of us. Lord, we have the mind of Christ. Potentially we can think, act, behave ourselves as he did, Lord, by your grace, with your strength, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Help us to respond accordingly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you love wisdom? Let's stand together and ask God for his wisdom. Wisdom is offered to everyone, everywhere, but only in conjunction with righteousness. Nothing is more valuable than wisdom. Nothing is to be compared to it, the Bible says. And those that truly want it, it is available to you. It's available through Jesus Christ, who reveals God's wisdom to man. He is the personification of wisdom. And your response to him, to Jesus Christ, will determine your ultimate destiny, your life, and your eternity. Now, I think I'm the choir director tonight. Do you have something, Jackie, that you... 371? Let me grab a hymnal here. You go ahead and start playing, Jackie. I'll lead. If I know the song, I should. 371. You join me in there. Have thine own. I think I know that one. We've sung this one. Do you want the Lord to have his way in your life? If that's more than just a song tonight, if that's really your prayer, maybe the Lord's dealing with you in a specific area of your life about something that's there. You've rejected the wisdom of God. You've rejected the righteousness of God in an area, and you're beginning to act or think like a fool. Repent. Change your mind. You can do it right now. You can walk down this aisle, get down on your knees and say, God, help me. Help me not to do, not to go, not to follow the path, the direction that I'm headed in going. God, give me your wisdom. May I act in response to it. As we sing the first verse, you come as the Lord leads. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me
while I am waking, yielded and still.
You know, when you're young, if you're smart enough to know that you need wisdom, you're a smart person. Unfortunately, many of us, when we're young, we don't even see how it applies. We're so arrogant. We're so proud in ourselves. We say, I can make it on my own. I got this thing figured out. I'm doing okay. I know I'm kind of making it up as I go along, but I'm doing pretty good. You continually reject the wisdom of God, and the day will come, and you'll have to pay the consequences of bad decisions in your life. You can always make good decisions. You can always make good decisions by consulting God's instruction manual for life right here in this book. Find out how to act, react, what kind of attitudes we ought to have, what we ought to do, how we are to respond. It's all right there in the instruction manual for life. Maybe there's someone here tonight who is not a Christian. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? We're going to go home here in just a second. It's early. It's only 7:14 right now. But let me ask you this. How many of you would say, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I know that if I died right now, not because I'm a good person, but because He is good and He's forgiven me. He died for my sins. And I accepted that payment. I know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm thankful for it. Hands way up in the air here tonight. You've heard that invitation before. I'm so thankful that I'm a Christian. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. You may put your hands down. God bless you all. Pastor, I couldn't put my hand up in the air. I'd like to be able to do that. I wish I could answer that question the way these people did. Would you pray for me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking. Would you slip your hand up in the air and say, pray for me, Pastor? I don't know. I can't say I know I'm going to go to heaven. Is there anybody like that? Anybody at all? All across the auditorium, hold your hand high in the air. Pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you that God show you, lead you, guide you into all truth. Anyone at all? I don't see any hands. I'll take you at your word that you're all Christian people, God's people. And everybody said amen. Amen. Look up if you would. Thanks so much for being here tonight. Pray for me. I'll be gone tomorrow. This time, let's see, this time I'll be about 1,000 miles out into the ocean somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean on my way to the Southern Hemisphere.